There's no question that the church in America needs to have a radical awakening, and America needs a great awakening. But can the church of America wake up without persecution first?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, once again, I am burning with fire, passion for the Lord, passion for this nation, passion for the nations, more convinced than ever that the church in America must awake, have a radical awakening. I've lived with this reality for decades, but it is so overpoweringly strong now. And an awakening in the church must lead to an awakening in the society, a moral and cultural revolution. It is the only hope of America. And I want to encourage you, with a vision today. And I want to ask you a very sobering question. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. Here's my big question for you. If you believe, as I do, that there must be awakening in the church, that the church of America, by and large, is in a compromised or backslidden condition, that we've lost our power, that we've lost our authority, that we've lost and left our first love, that rather than us changing the world is changing us. If you believe, as I do, that there must be a great awakening in the church of America and in the culture today, a moral culture revolution, can it happen? Will it happen without real persecution coming to the church first? What do you think? Now, yes, I understand that God can do anything, and that in theory, nothing is needed for God to move. But as we look at the conditions and the situations and survey history, biblical history and church history and American history, do you believe that we can have a real awakening, a real shaking in the church, without real persecution coming to the Church of America? And do you believe that that persecution perhaps might already be here and beginning, and we're beginning to face it already? 866-34-TRUTH. I had a wonderful time meeting so many of you, our listeners in the greater New York area. And if you were at any of our meetings, if you were at our Friday night rally in Queens, New York, if you were at the Saturday night debate on Long Island, if you were at the Sunday morning meeting in the Bronx, if you're at any of these meetings, give me a call. If you were touched, if you were impacted, if your life was changed by being there, if there's something fresh that was deposited within you, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you as well. 866-348-7884. I truly believe that the God that we serve, I know this with every fiber of my being, is a God who brings light out of darkness, who brings order out of chaos. You have it in the very first chapter of the Bible for a reason. A God who brings resurrection through crucifixion. And therefore, no matter how dire things get, no matter how ugly things get, no matter how terrible things are in our society, I live with a constant sense of hope. I live with a constant sense of hope because God sits on the throne, because Jesus is risen, and because the Lord has spoken things to me in my own life over the years. They may have taken years and years and years to come to pass. There may have been lengthy trials and times where you question yourself, did you really hear God, and tears and fasting. But God has kept those promises to me, and I believe he's promised me that we will see a moral and cultural revolution in America. And that means there's going to have to be awakening, at least among a solid remnant of the church. Is it going to happen without persecution? What do you think? I'll take your calls and share some news updates and some encouraging stories with you on the other side of the break, right here on The Line of Fire.
Change the world.
open flame. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. Can the church in America really wake up without serious persecution? Now, look, we understand that serious persecution in itself does not bring awakening. We know that in certain cases, the church in the midst of persecution has grown and it has thrived and it has multiplied. There's the famous ancient quote from Tertullian, what, second century or so, saying that the faster you cut us down, the more quickly we grow back. And the blood of martyrs is the seed of the church. We also know that, what, about 800 years ago, that radical Islam, the Islam of its day, the ruling Islam of its day, wiped out so many Christians in the Middle East and in Northern Africa that the Christian witness was basically obliterated. You could say it was literally beheaded or destroyed or annihilated. And we see a terrible purge happening like that now in the Middle East and Muslim parts of the world. Once again, terrible persecution of the Christian population. But the question is, will the church in America wake up without something that extreme, without something that radical, without something that difficult and painful? 866-348-7884. And if you have an opinion on it, not just a yes or no, but if you have an opinion that goes beyond it with a why you feel that way, I'd love to hear from you. Some of you may weigh in terms of, has the persecution already started? If so, what effect is it having? 866-348-7884. We've got one line open. Our phone lines are quickly jammed, so get ready to weigh in. Before I go to the phones, let me say this. When I spoke Friday night in Queens, New York, and what a delight to meet so many of you that came out, faithful listeners, so many kind words. It was just wonderful to be with you. It was a great joy in my heart. And well, we were together, I think, 3 hours plus. Oh, that was even before we signed books for folks. I don't think we got out of there until about three-quarter hours after starting the meeting. We even didn't ask Dr. Brown, you've got questions, we've got answers at the end, which was a lot of fun as you stood up and said, I'm Sam from Brooklyn, or, you know, you identified yourselves. That was cute. That was neat. But if you were there, you know, I shared some of my own testimony and how I am a witness. In fact, Joey, get clip number one ready, the altar call from Brownsville. I shared some of my own testimony, how I knew it burned in my heart for years and years and years that I would be in the midst of an awakening, that I would have the privilege of being in the midst of an awakening, that a revival that would touch people around the world. That promise burned in me for years and years. When I first started preaching, I had a burden for it, but I couldn't articulate it. In 83, God really spoke it to me in a way that was undeniable. But you question it. Did you really hear God? Is it really going to happen? But it burned in me so deeply, and I was so sure that I couldn't help but share it. And then when God called me to be in the midst of the revival that had broken out in Pensacola, Florida in 1995, called me to be part of it in 96, suddenly I'm in the midst of something that I had dreamed about and prayed for and fasted for and believed for years and years and years. And people would come and say, Mike, you talked to us about this. You told us about this. You said you were going to be in the midst of it. It's got nothing to do with me. I'm not sharing it about me. I'm sharing it because God is faithful. Many of you have promises, your pastors, your church leaders, you've been believers for years. Your heart beats for your nation, for your region, for your city, and you really believe God is going to move. He's faithful to his promises. What's it going to take, though, for awakening to happen? I'm going to go to the phones in one moment, but this is an altar call. My dear friend, Evangelist Steve Hill, keep praying for him as even though he's been raised up from his deathbed, he continues to fight cancer. Pray for him. But this was a typical scene, an altar call people being called to repent and get right with God. What you can't really hear is all the wailing and the crying as people are in agony seeking the face of God and repenting. But here's a glimpse of something that I lived in the midst of for years.
Let's take care of business. Let's take care of our relationship with Jesus. If you're going to stand there in the pew and say, I'm going to take care of this later, friend, you are dead wrong. That is pride, and that itself will damn your soul. That's what took Lucifer down from heaven, is pride. If you're saying, I'm going to do this on my own, in my own secret place, what are you ashamed of Jesus? Are you not going to confess him? He will confess you if you'll confess him. He won't be ashamed of you if you won't be ashamed of him, friend. As soon as I begin singing, if you need forgiveness, if you're away from God, I want you to come right now. Come right now.
Yeah, and we watch people flooding the altar, several hundred thousand over a period of years, repenting, getting right with God, turning from sin, and many of them now on the mission field, pastoring congregations, leading their families, turned around by the Lord. We need something like that that sweeps the nation, whatever form or shape it takes. But will it come without persecution? I posted this question on Facebook, and boy, the comments are coming in fast and furious, almost all of them saying the same thing to the phones. Jada in Boston, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I'm actually a new listener. I found out this radio station, and I was very excited when I heard your radio station. Very blessed. I'm happy that, you know, still in the United States, we have someone that's faithful and just speaks the truth regardless of the consequences.
Well, thank you so much. There are many voices out there, but the sad thing is they're far too few. Willing to go against the grain. But thank God for every coworker, every leader, those speaking behind the scenes and those speaking publicly. But it's a shame that a voice like mine stands out. This should just be the norm, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was listening very carefully, and actually, you know, I do believe that America will be awakening by persecution. I've been here for 13 years. I'm actually from Brazil. Mm-hmm. And in Boston, we have a lot of the churches, Brazilian community. And, you know, after the, I bet everyone heard of the bombing here in Boston. I believe, like, the first week, everybody gathers together, everybody prays, and then everything goes away. You know, so quickly, everybody forgets, and they go on with their life. And I feel like if the Christians, if people here go through something deeper, I believe the churches will gather more together. I'm actually a pastor's daughter, so I see the things behind the screen, and I see how so many churches are so against each other instead of being together, if you know what I mean. So I feel like if America goes through this, people will wake. People are bringing up their kids to be doctors, to be, you know, lawyers, but they're not really showing them the afterlife, you know. I feel like the prosecution in the country will wake up people, hello, there's a God.
Yeah.
We can't do everything. I feel like the Americans, you know, I've been here, I'm even this way, fight with me, because I feel like it's the culture way. You fight, if you study, if you do this, you're going to get it, but really? Are you really going to get it if you're not with God? You know, in Brazil right now, we're actually going through a lot of ministers getting arrested. A lot of the homosexual situation we have there, because we don't want to, you know, pass the law. And here in the United States, I feel like everybody shuts down. Nobody fights for it. Tomorrow, we're having a walk for Jesus here in Boston. I'll be there, and if anyone's listening, you know, be there, support. Let's pray for the city.
What time was that? Time is that going to be?
It's from 2 to 6. It's going to be
right,
in.
All right, where is it going to be?
The city hall in Boston.
All right, tell you what, awesome. Listen, I just want to make one real quick comment on the heels of what you've been saying. The fact is, so much of the American gospel emphasis has basically been a taking of the culture and baptizing the message into the culture so that Jesus comes so that you can be more successful in this world. And without a certain shaking of that, and that's what Jade is saying, a recognition that this world matters, but there is a world to come. Without that, to a great extent, we will be missing spiritual reality. Even the fact that we're in a war, that we're in a spiritual war, that this world is hostile to God, persecution often awakens us to that reality, and that is what is of critical importance. All right, back with your calls. I've got a shocking audio clip I'll play a little later in the broadcast for you as well.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. 866-348-7884. Michael Brown here, blessed and delighted to be with you, sharing this Monday together. I want to give you a vision of what could happen as God awakens his people nationally. I want to suggest to you that radical awakening is not only our only hope, but a real hope. In other words, this is something we can actually see in front of our eyes as God moves. Now, in the natural, it's impossible. In the natural, there's every reason for pessimism. I was just interacting with one leader on Facebook who said, I don't see any awakening coming with or without persecution. And he gave numbers of reasons for it. And I said, I don't share your pessimism. I said, yeah, in the natural, it's impossible, but I don't share your pessimism. Why? Number one, God is God. And with him, nothing is impossible. That's number one. Number two, I believe God has put it into the hearts of millions of his people across America to pray for mercy, to pray for awakening, and many have been doing that for decades. I don't believe those prayers have been in vain. I believe God has seen his people crying out. And three, there's a hope and a promise that he put in me and put in many that he will do this. Therefore, I am concerned by what I see with my eyes. I am concerned with the state of the society. I am concerned with the state of the church. I'm terribly burdened, but I am full of hope because of God, because the God who starts the work will bring it to completion. And the same God who spoke to me years ago about being part of a revival that would touch the world, and people came literally from 130 nations were impacted, and people who were touched in those meetings have gone out and are touching people around the world to this day. The same God who promised that, I believe with all my heart. I can't prove it to you, and it's just my witness, but I believe he's spoken to me for years that we will see a moral and cultural revolution in America based on the gospel. Let me say again, if you're a new listener, we're not talking about revolution the way the world brings it, anger, hatred, intimidation, violence, God forbid. We're talking about the Jesus way, by the Spirit, by love, by prayer, by our sacrifice for the good of others, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love. That's the power of the gospel. And as sure as God laid that on my heart, that I'd be in the thick of a national moral and cultural revolution, he laid it on my heart that I'd be on nationally syndicated radio, on many of these stations. He laid this on my heart years ago, and he opened the doors for me to do it. He's been supplying the funds for me to do it. In fact, many of you listening are helping us do this very thing. We are your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. My question is, will this happen? Can this happen without persecution coming first? Mary Ann in Cortland, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
You're welcome.
I do believe that there's going to be a greater awakening, and it's going to lead to a greater witness of Jesus Christ. And then I think that with that, that's going to lead to the persecution of the church.
All right, so either way, some would say that there's going to be persecution first to stir us and awaken us, or what you're saying, that the church will awaken as it awakes and speaks the truth to the world and lives righteously, it'll be persecuted. Either way, there's going to be persecution, either sparking awakening or as a result of awakening. And in point of fact, Marianne, you're exactly right. There's no possible way that there could be real awakening and God moving in the midst of a society as decadent and worldly and often as anti-God as ours without there being a pushback, without there being some type of persecution.
Okay. So, yes, I do agree. But I do also believe, as you believe, that God is going to do something. He's going to pour out his spirit, and a lot of people are going to awaken, which, again, yes, is what's going to lead to a greater witness of Christ, which is going to anger and cause the persecution of the church.
Yep. I certainly believe, whether there's persecution first or not, that absolutely the awakening will bring opposition. You're right on with that observation, Marianne. I agree. And yes, our hope is in the Holy Spirit being poured out. It's the only way that something can really happen is with the Holy Spirit being poured out. There's no natural solution. We do what we can naturally, but there's no natural solution. John in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
How you doing, Pastor Mike? I'm glad to hear from you after so many years. I remember the days you used to frequent our church at Times Square, and I was an usher then, but since then I've been in the Army, and I'm just getting back home since last year, and I'm glad to hear from you and be on this radio to share some ideas that I have.
Yeah, awesome, and welcome back. Thanks for your service, and of course, many fond memories of the dozens and dozens of times ministering for our dear friends at Times Square Church, and I'm so thrilled to see the extraordinary witness that the church continues to have in the city and how God is using Pastor Carter and the team there and the congregation there to make an impact.
Amen.
Yeah. Oh, John, where did you serve?
I served in the Army, and I spent 15 months in Iraq, and I've been all over the U.S. I've been to Korea as well.
All right. So. Well, listen, we've got about a minute, but please share your thoughts with us, John.
Well, while I think that God can do all things, I don't think that it's part of his way to awaken us without trouble. I believe that we have, like, right now, we're experiencing a lot of sorrow, the beginning of our sorrows, and with the burdens that many have over what's going on and the threat against our faith, the challenges against our faith. I believe soon we'll see a great falling away. And I don't believe that we're going to escape a time of real shaking in this place, because if those apostles and prophets in past times, if they went through so much trouble and persecution and difficulty, who are we? And what are we? I mean, we're not even close to the relationship that they had with God.
Well, you know, John, just to jump in, though, sorry to have to jump in. The fact is, they often experience that persecution because they were living differently than the world. And when we live like the world loves us rather than hates us. John 15, hey, thank you for the call and glad to be reconnected with you in Brooklyn. Friends, I want to do something really practical. I want to ask you for your help to stand with us as a voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution, raising our voice, equipping, bringing hope, bringing faith in the midst of these challenges. My book, Revolution, it's the Jesus call to change the world, Revolution, the call of holy war. If you don't have it yet, it's a must read. It'll really impact you. But we have printed up now on 5x7 cards, you can put it right inside the Revolution book or inside your Bible, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. Simple, practical things that everyone can do to be a world changer. Your gift of any size, I will send you my Revolution book, which will light a fire in your life, and a copy of the 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Oh, I believe that awakening is coming to the Church of America. And I believe that that awakening will be part of what helps trigger a moral and cultural revolution in the nation. And I believe that as the nation continues to decline and continues to collapse morally in so many ways, that that will also be part of what sparks moral and cultural revolution, because people will realize we're heading in the wrong direction. People will realize this is not what they signed up for. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. A question I've put forward at the beginning of the broadcast, I put forward on Facebook and our social media, and we're getting lots of responses. Will there be an awakening? Can the Church of America wake up without persecution? And if you believe that persecution is coming, do you think it could already be here? All right, I want to encourage every one of you to visit my newly revised website, AskDrBrown.org. Same address, AskDrBrown.org, but a whole new look. We have so much material. We have so many websites. We have so much going on all over the internet that we wanted to have one place that would be a portal, one place where you could go. Okay, have you written anything, Mike? Yeah, here's my latest article. Hey, what's on your mind? Did you put out a blog post? Yeah, in fact, I just did. Boy, what's that latest video? Do you have some debate you just posted on YouTube? Or I hear you've got some stuff you're going to be posting, like a weblog or live broadcast or video from your live radio broadcast we could watch. Where's that going to be? And what about that last message you preached? Just go to AskDrBrown.org, and right on the homepage, I'm looking at it right now, you'll see latest article. Click on that, but it won't just be the latest article. You'll see on one page the last 5, 10 articles, and then click in for the next 10, 20, 30 articles. Latest audio, latest radio shows, latest messages I've preached, and we're going to be putting together highlights from the radio shows on a daily basis or several times a week at the least. Highlights, here's some of the best excerpts, best calls, best interviews, maybe things that I said that we really felt targeted what we wanted to talk about. And here, you'll just go to one place, and there it is. You listen to 15 minutes and get highlights of 2 hours of radio broadcast. And then, as well, our special resource offer every week, you'll find out about our school of ministry, and just all right there in one place, convenient, easy to use. We worked on it a while, not so much to have the world's flashiest looking website, but the most practical website possible for Jesus Revolution. When you go there, be sure to click on the latest blog. Hey, our buddy Randy in New York City, your story has touched many. And friends, Randy has been so touched by the outpouring of love. Randy, you struggled with homosexual desires for decades, and I wrote an article about how he's touched by the love of God, and he wrote this, posted this on Facebook. I just went to the website you told me to go to. I'm sitting here with tears practically falling on my computer keyboard. I can't believe there are this many people out there who give anything about me. I'm floored. Why would these people care about an AIDS-ridden homosexual guy that they've never met before? I'm basically speechless at this time. I can't thank all those people enough for their kind words and support. I believe God is going to bring someone into my life who will really this time be able to help me overcome this unhappy lifestyle. Randy, I know the man in New York City, a friend that came out of homosexuality decades ago. We're going to put him in touch with you. Thank you so much, Dr. Brown, and thank you again to all those wonderful people who care about me. I can't believe how many people care. That's what Randy posted. So Randy, more people are posting comments. Go to AskDrBrown.org, Randy, and just click on the latest blog. You can read these comments for yourself and cry some more. That's the love of God. That's the love that God has for each of us. We'll come back and get your take on persecution and the church.
God of burning, cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Do you believe that there can be awakening in the church without persecution first coming? One caller said there's going to be persecution. Another caller said the awakening will lead to persecution. 866-348-7884. John David in Washington, D.C., thanks so much for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you so much, Pastor. I appreciate your taking my call, and I salute my fellow brethren in arms, John in Brooklyn. Wanted to just share how blessed I am to have been in the military for 20 years and a teacher for 20 years, retired. Now my wife is still on active duty, their 39th year of straight active duty, but I think the persecution
extraordinary.
Started.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
When I was in the military and in the hospital after being wounded, chaplains came by. I find now in my most recent surgery about six months ago, I was in the hospital for 2 months, for six weeks, and not one chaplain came by. I think we've so much put fear that being a Christian is a cult that people are no longer standing up what it means to be a believer. So I think the persecution has started. You can see in the military, once a stanchion of strong morals, the breakdown, and how now believers have become victims, and we are being challenged for our beliefs, where we can no longer be the light of the world without offending someone.
Yeah,
that's
John
what
David,
I tell you, sir.
Yeah, how were you wounded? Where were you serving?
In Vietnam, sir.
Okay, so this is many years back, and you're saying then that there were chaplains that were present at that time.
Well,
now
they
it's
were
totally
proactive,
different.
And they prayed with you. I fortunately, this most recent hospitalization, it was a nurse that came and ministered to me because I've had recurring injuries, and not one chaplain showed up. And to me, that shows you how the culture already is turning against the believer. And I put that when I checked in, that I was non-denominational Christian, and not one came by, not one Bible-believing chaplain. And to me, that's a travesty that's happening now.
That is it. Yeah, and the last thing we're doing is faulting chaplains. We're faulting the system here that's either putting good people out or putting people under pressure and fear. And the fact is, I had a guest on last week. As I told him when he was on the air, I don't know that I've ever had a guest on that I disagreed with more profoundly, Mikey Weinstein. The idea that the Pentagon is talking about court-martialing someone.
Correct.
That shares their faith and makes another person uncomfortable. Not reprimanding them. It would be bad enough to reprimand them, but to court martial, it almost sounds surreal. The whole thing sounds surreal. And this is at the same time that the military is aggressively pushing. Now the Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been repealed. Aggressively pushing gay activist causes in the military and a gay activist mentality in the military that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. The idea that sharing your faith would make someone uncomfortable, you'd be court-martialed. Yeah, very serious. We can't deny that something is already up. And I just want to pray with you, dear brother. Lord, I pray for grace and healing, these recurring injuries after serving in Vietnam these many years ago. I just pray for quicker healing and for your divine intervention and for the raising up of a more powerful witness in the armed forces than ever before, for your glory and for the good of your people. And bless John David and his wife, we pray, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, sir, for the call. Sobering, isn't it? Sobering. If you follow what happened with the IRS, we've got a clip we'll play in a little while. The IRS and its targeting of certain conservative groups, Tea Party groups, and others, people knew exactly what they were doing. And potential revoking of tax-exempt status. No, I'm not equating that to people having their heads chopped off in an Islamic country for following Jesus. I'm not equating the two. I'm simply saying that it's clear that the handwriting and more is already on the wall. Peter in Mastic Beach on Long Island, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I was just listening in, and wow. Where do I begin? The only thing I want to say, pretty much, is it's so sad. I feel bad because the only time that people truly get together is when something bad happens, like 9/11, and then just recently with the Boston, the bombing over there. I think that it's going to take something to actually cause, I mean, something greater than that to cause people, Christians, even non-Christians, to actually come to realize how important it is, what it is that that God is trying to say here. And for me, for one, I sit back and I just listen, and I listen to all the things that are going on, things that even personally, things that I, in the past, I was involved with, and knowing that just listening to God's word and going into Scripture and understanding what He is, what He's trying to say, what He's telling us, how He wants us to live, treat each other, and, what it is to have a truthful, meaningful life with one another, but especially with Him. So I just fear, I could feel it in my spirit, in my just inside, that it seems like it's going to take something greater than this world, something to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, just something to happen to.
Yeah.
To get the mind going.
Yeah. To say this, Peter, obviously we're not looking for tragedy. We're not expecting tragedy. We certainly don't pray for that. But it's clear, though, that say after the terrible tragedy of 9/11, one of the most jarring things that's ever happened in American history, as many people said back then, that there was a wake-up call to the nation. Something was terribly wrong in our nation. We needed God. We needed His mercy and protection. There was an alarm that went off, but then many people hit the snooze button. Churches
right.
were packed in the weeks afterwards, then life went back to normal. However,
yeah, it was normal.
If there is an ongoing cost to following Jesus, if there is an ongoing cost to being a disciple, that's something we have to deal with all the time. And that's part of what I see, the handwriting on the wall, and you don't have to be some super spiritual person to see it, that opposition to the gospel is rising, that antagonism to the gospel is rising, that antagonism to biblical moral values is rising, and just to stand for these things is becoming costly. That is either going to just put people asleep because they're not willing to pay the price, or it's going to help awaken people to reality. Alan in Baltimore, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
God bless you, Dr. Brown.
Thank you.
I wanted to say that I believe that the majority of the church in America really doesn't know what true Christianity is really about.
Mm-hmm.
True Christianity is persecution. The Lord gave me a dream, the exact same dream, some 20 years ago. I'm not going to get into details, just the basics that I was trying to tell the church, prepare yourself for persecution. Get ready. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to hear it. They were waving me away until the time came when the government came down to the point where it was obvious that, hey, we're getting ready to go through something. It's happening now. And they all turned. Then they wanted to listen to me. Only then would they listen to me. They thought, well, we're going to be out of here any minute. I'm going to tell you what two people said to me. One, a minister. One woman said, well, if you people are right and we're going to go through the tribulation, I'm just going to take the mark of the beast because I've got to feed my kids. After all, I'm saved. God will forgive me. And we all know the two places in the book of Revelation, it plainly says all who take that mark are going to have their part in the lake of fire. I was talking to a minister friend of mine and trying to explain the truth to him. And I said, well, we can't deny Christ. Even if it costs our lives, we cannot deny Him openly. And he said, well, if I was faced with that situation, I would just say in my heart to God, well, you know that I believe in you and you're the true and living God. But he would tell his persecutors what they wanted to hear to save his life. And I said to him, how can you do that? Jesus said, if you don't confess me before men are afraid, I won't confess you before my Father. I said, you can't.
It's mind-boggling. You know, Alan, I got a break coming up, but if you weren't telling me this, that you that people actually told you this, I wouldn't believe you. I would think, nah, no follower of Jesus would say that. And certainly we know what our brothers and sisters have had to suffer for the gospel around the world through the centuries to this day. And what Jesus said as an example, and the way the apostles suffered for the gospel. The good news is God's with us. The good news is God's grace is sufficient for every situation. We have no reason to fear, but we do need to awaken to reality. Alan, thank you for sharing that. We'll be back with more of your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, my joy to be with you, bringing a message of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a church all too often in compromise and a society all too often in chaos. 866-348-7884. Again, let me encourage you to visit our brand new website, AskDrBrown.org. Same address as always, but with total easy accessibility to latest article, latest audio, latest video, latest blog, resource offers everything just in a user-friendly way. It's our portal. It's our portal to all of the different resources and materials we have for you. Just one quick little note about the potential of coming persecution and opposition to the gospel. Just a reminder of what the IRS has recently admitted regarding targeting certain groups. Listen to these news clips talking about this very thing. Oh, sorry. Did I give you the wrong number, Joey? Just go ahead. Please play that. Yes, sir. My bad. I had the numbers wrong in front of me. I told Joey to be ready for number two, and we committed the cardinal radio sin of radio silence. All right. We ready for number three?
The IRS is not supposed to be used for political purposes as a lever of government against those who may not agree with the government. But today the IRS has apologized for singling out some conservative groups for scrutiny last year.
This all concerns groups that are applying for tax-exempt status as social welfare organizations. The IRS has apologized for targeting for scrutiny and holding up applications from groups that it thought were politically conservative.
They were targeting conservative slash right-wing groups, harassing them, making it doubly tough for them to qualify for their tax-exempt status.
In Ohio, the former president of the Liberty Coalition says his state group was targeted by the IRS, which demanded lists of members, donors, even family members, and politicians who've spoken.
They were trying to identify who's in the Tea Party movement and what we know and what we're planning to do. That's pretty obvious to me.
We need to know who did this, when they did it, how they did it, why they did it.
Yeah, and the president said if this happened, it's outrageous. I don't want to point any fingers, God knows, but I don't think this is any particular mystery that people were unaware of this. Targeted. Why? Conservative values. Well, why target conservative values? Why not target liberal values? Could it be that the conservative values were considered to be contrary to the direction of the government or something like that? And again, IRS, that's not the end of the world. I'm just saying that's a reality that we could be facing, and that would be one of many. The good news is that finally believers are starting to recognize there's a real war on the faith. There really is a war on biblical values. That you could walk in to school wearing a shirt saying just about anything. You wear a shirt with 10 commandments, you get in trouble in some schools. No, I'm not having some exaggerated persecution complex. And no, I'm not comparing this to being beheaded in some Islamic country. I'm simply saying the handwriting's on the wall. My fervent hope, though, is that rather than believers just completely capitulating, that at least some will wake up to reality. Charles in Washington, D.C., thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, yeah?
Yes, you're on the air, sir.
The reason why I called in, which I normally don't, is because of the topic. I would agree with you wholeheartedly, based not only on scripture, but also because of what I believe a prophetic message of the Spirit that is going on to the churches today, that America, the American church in particular, and I heard you make a distinction between the American church as opposed to believers in other countries who are already being persecuted. You could read John Fox's Book of the Martyrs. That really pretty much tells it all. But in the United States, because we are brought up in a society or a culture, I should say, that worships money, material things. Basically, in other words, we are hedonistic, materialistic, that I believe personally that the Lord is going to, yes, indeed, bring upon greater persecution because of our lackadaisicalness, our lack of holiness, our lack of righteousness, even our very lack of love for Christ. Although we claim with our mouths we love him, but in our hearts we really don't. And I mean the church as a whole. I'm not speaking about every single believer, but as a corporate body in America, we don't show the same zeal for Christ and love like other believers do, obviously because believers in other countries, they're under constant persecution, which means they're constantly on their knees looking toward God to make it day by day, while in America, because we are indeed blessed with the freedoms that we have, including freedom of religious expression, mm-hmm. that instead, ironically, instead of being more thankful to the Lord and more zealous for
right.
having a free country, that we become ungrateful and have taken our freedoms for granted and thus turn our backs from the Lord. So I do believe that the Heavenly Father is going to, and he is now, as you have given current examples, that yes, he's going to heat up persecution. And really is because we brought it on ourselves. And when I say we, I mean corporately. I don't mean every single believer.
No, you're absolutely, Charles, I agree with every word that you just said, and I agree with what you said, the way you said it. It's almost like if we're in an environment where we constantly have to run and be in excellent shape because that's, you know, we're on an athletic team, that's going to keep us in shape. And if we're no longer competing, it's easy to get out of shape. Well, there's a spiritual race we're in, a spiritual war that we're in, and we've fallen asleep in the midst of it. Thank you, sir, for the call. And that's why I believe that coming persecution, opposition, is going to get some to just completely capitulate, but it's going to get others to begin to awaken. It's going to get others to begin to stir. It's going to get others to begin to stand. And when that happens, we can literally see America shaking. Marcello, Johan, Trevor, George, stay with me. I want to take your calls on the other side of the break. Please visit our website and just check out all the resources there in a very user-friendly way, AskDrBrown.org. And stand with me as we are on the front lines making a difference by God's grace. Lives are being touched. We need your help to do it, and I want to help equip you. My book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War, together with 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary, a 5x7 card you can put in your Bible or in the Revolution book, yours today for your gift of any size. I'm talking about practical, life-changing resources. Start here, move here, you'll be impacted. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. 9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, don't look to the rest of the church and everyone else and talk about what everyone else needs to do. Look in the mirror and say, God, here I am. Use me. Send me. There's no question that the church in America needs to have a radical awakening, and America needs a great awakening. But can the church of America wake up without persecution first?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm holding two things in my hand right now. One, a book called Revolution, The Call of Holy War. The new digital version, it is called Revolution, Jesus' Call to Change the World. The day this book came out, we gave away over 70,000 copies of a 330-page book. Retail value would have been well over $1 million given out as several hundred thousand young people gathered together for a day of prayer and fasting and repentance, September 2nd of the year 2000. I'm holding that book in my hand today, along with a 5x7 card. We just printed these up, put in the Revolution book or to put in your Bible, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. Friends, I believe that in our lifetimes, we are going to see America shaken by a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. I want to say plainly, in the natural, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. And I have a question for you. I asked it in the last hour. I'm going to ask it again now. Got some very, very insightful calls in the first hour, and I'm sure it will continue in the second hour of radio broadcasting. Do you believe that there can be or will be national awakening in the church without serious persecution coming first? Do you believe that awakening will simply come, if you believe it will come, will simply come through God's people seeking his face, repenting, and praying for mercy? Or do you feel that there's so much complacency, so much worldliness, so much attachment to this age, so little separation from the world, that the only way we could really see revival come will be on the heels of serious persecution? 866-348-7884. I was looking at a story earlier today that was just a real shocker, and it's being reported, so we don't have all the facts in front of us right now, but college is investigating an alleged assault of student by professor. This is on the campusreform.org website. This is from just 3 days ago, May 10th. Now, it's reported, how do I get this name right? Timothy Dionysopoulos. Sorry, I didn't pronounce it correctly. He reports that American River College administrators are investigating allegations that a professor smashed the cell phone of a student working on the campaign of a conservative candidate for student government. The allegations were made by Vladimir, not a good name here, Moravishi, a volunteer on Luke Utterstadt's campaign for student trustee. According to Moravishi, the name's going to come out differently every time I say it. According to Moravishi's version of events, anthropology professor Frank Araujo swatted his cell phone out of his hands and smashed it onto the ground during a verbal altercation over whether or not gay marriage should be legal. This is an allegation. All I'm doing is reporting the allegation. But according to it, a student was assaulted by a professor because the student was standing for conservative values. Whether the story is true or not, I expect things like that and far worse to happen in the coming days. We're sure to take your calls and some stirring quotes when we come back.
Give us strength to always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the broadcast today. Oh yeah, this is on my mind. It's always on my mind. America is deteriorating in front of our eyes. I sat with pastors in New York over the weekend, and the only thing that was a surprise to us was how quickly things are deteriorating, how quickly religious freedoms are being taken away, how much threat there is to the church to just stand for righteousness. I don't say that in a hopeless way. I say that simply to say it's reality, friends. 866-34-TRUTH. Will America experience a great awakening? Will the Church of America experience a great awakening without serious persecution coming first? Or will awakening bring persecution? I'm going to go to the phones in one moment. Let me read a quote to you from my book, Revolution. Bottom of page 53. Now, this came out in the year 2000. I wrote at the end of 99, beginning of 2000. It came out later in 2000. Words truly are inadequate to express how deeply we have fallen. This is reality, my friend. Still, there is really only one thing that matters. There is only one thing we must ask. Is there any way out? Can America be changed? The answer, I say, is absolutely yes. Our country can be changed, but it will take a revolution, and that revolution must begin now. Can I count you in? That's how I end the second chapter of the book. That was in the year 2000. This is how I end the first chapter of the book. Will you come along for this adventure of a lifetime? Will you enlist yourself in the service of the Lord, regardless of the consequences or cost? Will you give your life for the Master's cause to make disciples of your nation and the nations of the world? To shine the light in dark places, to glorify Jesus as Savior and Deliverer and Redeemer and Lord, will you be a revolutionary? This is the moment we've been waiting for. History makers, arise. The time is short, the hour is late, and the battle for the soul of our nation is intense. But victory is ours. Our Savior lives. All authority in heaven and on earth belongs to Him, and there is no power or force that can withstand His mighty name. Therefore, we must go. Fellow soldiers, holy servants of the risen Lord, blood-bought disciples of the Master, heed the call. It's now or never. It's time to put up or shut up. Either we take a stand once and for all, or forever we hang our heads in shame. History is awaiting our move, so on with it. Let's start a revolution. Oh, there have been many who've been living that out in Jesus' name. Not in the worldly way, not with hatred, anger, intimidation, flesh, but following the principles of Jesus, the sacrificial principles to give our lives for a dying and hurting world. Friends, many have risen up, but the great, 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 great majority are sleeping. What will wake them up? 866-34-TRUTH. Marcello in Harker Heights, Texas, thanks for calling and welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, I'm very thankful for you having this call, sir.
Glad to have you on the air, sir. Thank you.
Yes, you mentioned the question of the persecution of the church, and you gave us a choice. Well, I think that not only is it necessary, but I mean, it's going to happen because of the Supreme Court's, well, hopefully it doesn't, but the Supreme Court's judicial activism, which is going to lead to government-funded homosexual unions in this country. And after that happens, there's going to be a government impulse motivated by the culture to basically say that if we disrespect, quote-unquote, disrespect homosexuals or homosexual or people practicing homosexual unions, then that's going to be discrimination and Christianity is going to be a part of that. So, I mean, unfortunately, I think that if that's the course, if homosexual unions are the course, then the persecution of the church is going to awaken sort of a movement.
Yeah, you know, the point you make is so important that no matter how loving, compassionate we are, no matter how much we reach out to those in the gay and lesbian community with the gospel, with the love of God, no matter how much we accept people in the midst of their struggles, if we do not go along with the status quo, as is happening in other states now. Christian attorneys are telling me that the states, the attorney generals are suing people now, taking them to court. So you could be a baker, you could be a florist, you could have any number of positions, but if you're asked to do something that violates your conscience, to provide a wedding cake for a same-sex so-called marriage party, or do the floral arrangements, or rent your place out, or whatever it is, you say, hey, I can't do that in good conscience. Well, hey, this is the law. And many states, most states already have a non-discrimination clause based on sexual orientation, many on gender identity as well. You could easily get to the point where you say, you know, I don't want a man wearing a dress teaching in our preschool. And you could be the one that is now the guilty party in the midst of this. So absolutely, when something becomes recognized by the law, then it has the government backing it or government sanction. And even where it's not fully backed, you already have this impression as if you have to go along with it. And if you don't go along with it, you're in trouble. I've preached about this extensively, documented it in my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, extensively. And it's not just the handwriting on the wall. It's happening left and right. It's happening to people in college programs, both to professors and students in America and other countries. It's happening to people in the media. It's happening to people in many, many different sectors of society. And it's not that those who identify as gay and lesbian are our enemy, God forbid. It's that gay activism has been the principal threat to freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech in America for years is increasing. So, and that's just one aspect. Who knows what else is coming? But Marcello, I'll say this last thing on that subject. I was on Long Island Friday morning after speaking to some high school students, had lunch with a pastor that I've known for 30 years. He was a student of mine decades ago. He's an extraordinary leader on the island, a church planter, ministering to the hurting, to the poor, to drug addicts, helping victims of Hurricane Sandy. I mean, just front lines, doing good, helping people in need. And he said, Mike, he said, we're going to get persecuted by gay activism. It's coming our way, and it's going to be massive. And this is from someone who, he's not focused on that. He's focused on touching his community and helping the hurting. So time to wake up, friends. You're exactly right. Will that awaken us, or will that cause us to compromise more? When pastors and leaders are put under pressure, where we might lose our tax-exempt status, where we might lose some of our big givers, where we might lose our freedoms to be on the air and do what we're doing, will we compromise our conviction? I don't say be obnoxious, God forbid. I don't say be unloving, God forbid. But will we compromise our convictions for the sake of our conveniences? Or will we stand for righteousness? Johan in Hawthorne, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, thank you for taking my calls. Well, I will, you know, you have said it in different ways, but when you first asked the question, my question is, why and why will anyone persecute the American church?
Uh-huh.
Because the church is almost just like the society. And secondly, if you go to the church and talk, you know, with zeal, they will tell you eventually that, you know, hey, your zeal is making many people uncomfortable. The problem lies in the church. When our power comes from the pulpit, that power has been compromised. It has been weakened. And there is our power. And what we need is really to come back to that, and someone like Ezra, who can play as an example, get out, pray, repent, and be faithful. Otherwise, persecution, it will not come. It has always been here, this kind of persecution. If the people are awake, our power is in God. The good example is Israel. Judah, a small nation, could not be attacked by the powerful Babylon and Syria. When they are faithful, nobody touched them. And we don't have to fear. It's just that we have to make our way correct with God and please Him.
Johan, you have spoken words of truth. words of clarity and words of power. I agree, sir, with everything you just said. Thank you for the call. Thank you for speaking with such passion. Will these voices rise up from the pulpits, from the communities, from our places of influence? Will these voices rise up? Will we give the world a reason to oppose us, or will we be so much like the world that the world will embrace us and love us as its own? Don't be discouraged as you see opposition rising. It means the battle lines are being drawn to stand for righteousness and to reach out with the overcoming, life-transforming love of God, an uncompromised message of truth. Stay with us. Your calls will come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there's a reason that the world hated Jesus. Now, I want you to think about this for a minute. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire. 866-348-7884. If you will visit my new website, same address, askdrbrown.org, you'll find links to everything in a convenient layout. We've tried to make this a portal that is super user-friendly. You want to read our latest articles, you want to check out our latest video, latest audio, read my latest blog post, which we'll be doing regularly now. There it is, in the most user-friendly way imaginable. So go to askdrbrown.org today and explore the links. But there's a reason, friends, that the world hated Jesus. So let me ask you a question. Was it because Jesus was not loving enough? Oh, no, certainly not. Was it because he wasn't compassionate enough? Oh, certainly not. Was it because he was a hypocrite? Obviously not. I mean, you go through the list, we say, well, the world doesn't like us because we're hypocrites. The world doesn't like us because of this. Well, that's often true. But the more we are like Jesus, the more divisive we'll be. Jesus said in John 15, if the world hates you, remember it hated me first. So we think that if we could just be more loving, compassionate, love God with all our heart, love our neighbors, ourselves, everyone would love us. Well, the more we look like Jesus and live like Jesus, the more the world will hate us, the more the religious system will hate us, and the more we'll have an impact. 866-348-7884. The question I've been putting forward for the last hour and 20 minutes with the phone lines jammed and our Facebook pages jammed with comments is simply this. Do you believe that there will be awakening in the church in America without persecution? If so, do you believe the persecution might even be here already? Let's go back to the phones. Trevor in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Boy, I was just in the Bronx 24 hours ago.
Hello, Hello, Dr. Brown. I wanted to see you over the weekend, but I was so tied up, so busy. I love
your
show.
Well, we can at least catch up by phone. That's okay.
Right, and I just love your spirit, your revolutionary Christian active spirit. That's my spirit too. Praise God.
Praise God.
What it's going to take to wake up the church and for a spiritual revival, I think it's going to take a great tragic event, and also persecution. And I believe the Lord has showed me also what it's going to take, because in a vision I had in the 80s, I foresaw events of 9/11. And that event is a foreshadow of the fulfillment of Revelation 18 and Joel 2, 30 to 32. One part of the vision I had was this. I saw my pastor baptizing people in Grand Central. I could not figure that part out until after 9/11, when I saw the revival, the churches for about 2 months, the churches were overflowing with people, and then it died down. So what I think is going to happen is you're going to have a great tragic event, fulfillment of Revelation 18, Joel chapter 2, 32-32, and then you're going to have a great spiritual revival. But it's not only America, it's going to be worldwide. It's not only America, it's going to be worldwide.
Yeah, and you know, Trevor, the fact is God is pouring out his spirit all over the world. Yeah. The fact is We see backsliding in Europe. We see backsliding in America. But the church is growing in leaps and bounds in so much of the rest of the world, and so many people are coming to faith, and so many lives are being transformed. But in the midst of our complacency, you know, you mentioned 9/11. I talked about it in the first hour as well. It's utterly tragic, and we certainly don't want to see these things happen. We don't hope for them to happen. But there was this mini stirring and people packing the churches and praying, and we need God, and there's got to be more, and somehow we're out from divine protection. And then, as many said, the alarm went off, and then we hit the snooze button. What we need to say is, God, whatever it takes, shake and awaken your church, knowing that no evil or bad thing comes from God. Everything that comes from God is good. God, whatever it takes, awaken your people, shake your church from complacency and slumber. Thank you, sir, for the call. 866-348-7884. Tom, all right, let's go to Janella in Atlanta. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Good to talk to you again. Hi.
Yes, good to hear
from
you.
I do agree with Trevor. It's going to be a worldwide persecution, not just America, but worldwide, because as you know, and you've told us on many occasions, Christians are suffering all over. It's just that we as Americans will really have to be prayerful, and we'll have to fast and ask God for boldness and courage, because we're not used to certain type of persecution. But I'll tell you, this persecution will also reveal the true church. Because if you take a poll, so many people profess to be born-again believers, so many. But then when it comes to holding on to Christian principles and beliefs and really being bold for God, you don't see as many. The numbers seem to dwindle. So I do believe that we, as God-fearing believers, will have to always earnestly pray for boldness and courage, because it's coming. It's coming. Yeah. We don't know, you know, and some people have experienced it. I've checked some things out on YouTube, and some people have actually experienced being arrested just for being at an event and saying a few things about Jesus, and this has been worldwide as well. It's interesting.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, worldwide, of course. There are tens of millions of Christians deprived from basic human rights. I was just looking at a report about that a moment ago. There are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, whose lives are being threatened right now, often in Islamic countries, with the rise of a more militant Islam and more militant Islamic governments. And in point of fact, here in America, people have been fired from their jobs simply because they stood up for what was right, or just held to a simple biblical conviction, or expressed something in their private time in a letter to the editor or some other format. Again, for those who don't believe me, get a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Read the chapter, Big Brother is Watching, and He Really is Gay. Your eyes will be open. Janelle, you're absolutely right. The question is, as opposition comes, will people wake up, or will they go into hiding? I want to equip you to stand, and I want to ask you to stand with me. Here's how we can help each other. My book, Revolution, the Call of the Holy War, 330 pages. It will inspire you. It will stir you. I've run into people that received this book at an event in 2000, September 2nd, 2000, when we gave away over 70,000 copies, and they have a tattered copy, and they say, that book changed my life. This book, plus a real practical 10-step commitment plan for you, just on a 5x7 card, a simple 5x7 card you put in your Bible or this book, Revolution, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. Step-by-step things every single one of us can do. The book and the 5x7 card for your gift of any size today. So stand with us and let us help equip you as well. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978. We will be back with audio clip that will stir you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it is the line of fire. I am Michael Brown, and I'm blessed and delighted to be with you. 866-348-7884. Listen to this quote, and tell me when you think it was made. As we turn to the evangelical leadership of this country in the last decades, unhappily, we must come to the conclusion that often it has not been much help. It has shown the mark of a platonic, overly spiritualized Christianity all too often. Spirituality to the evangelical leadership often has not included the lordship of Christ over the whole spectrum of life. Spirituality has often been shut up to a very narrow area, and also very often among many evangelicals, including many evangelical leaders, it seems that the final end is to protect their own projects. I am again asking the question, why have we let ourselves go so far down the road? Who said that? It was Francis Schaeffer in his book, A Christian Manifesto. That means that he spoke these words, what, over 30 years ago. Nevers Mumba, a Zambian Christian leader, said this. He was speaking as a charismatic to fellow charismatics, but it applies more broadly to evangelical Christians. He said, I believe we have come to a place where the thinking of Christians must change, and it must change now or the church will become a little cult in the corner. I'm not interested in following a religion that does not impact the world in which we live. Jesus was a rebel, and he's called us to join this rebel movement and change the world together. Now, a rebel in terms of saying no to the system of the world, not a rebel in terms of the Father's will. We are perfectly submitted to the Father's will. That's our goal. Jesus was. That's our goal, to emulate that. But we say no to the status quo. We say no to the system of this world. Eberhard Arnold, writing in 1919, ultimately persecuted by the Nazis, he said, the attack by socialism and communism on the status quo is a call to our consciences, those of us who consider ourselves Christian. This call warns us more strongly than any sermon that our task is to live in protest against everything that opposes God in this world. So poorly have we Christians filled this role that the question must be asked, are we Christians at all? Those are the opening quotes at the beginning of the first chapter of my book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War. By the way, it's our resource offer today. If you don't have it, it's one of these books that'll rock your world. We know Christian leaders that have used it as devotionals, Bible studies for their entire family. It's for young and old alike, and it's yours, excuse me, for your gift of any size, but we're enclosing with it, it's a 330-page book, we're enclosing with it a 5x7 card, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. Simple, clear steps everybody can take to love Jesus, be devoted to him, and overcome evil with good and hatred with love. Challenging, but things every one of us can live out. That 5x7 card will be in the book when we ship it to you, or you can put it in your Bible or somewhere else. You'll find it very, very helpful. We want to send that out for your gift of any size as you stand with us on the air. Number to call for that, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. When we come back, I want to take your calls on this question. Do you believe there can be awakening in the church, without persecution coming to the church first in America? To weigh in, 866-348-7884. I'm going to take your calls, and I'm going to play a compilation we have on video. You can watch it on our YouTube channel called Radical. You'll hear the voices of David Wilkerson, Leonard Ravenhill, my colleague here at FIRE, director of our school, Keith Collins, and my voice as well. You'll hear that when we come back, and I'll take your calls right here on the Line of Fire.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. 866-348-7884. Joe, I want you to get clip number two ready. This was recently compiled by Tammy, who directs our worship and creative arts program at Fire School of Ministry. Some quotes from leaders of the past: Leonard Ravenhill, who went to be with the Lord in 1994, at the age of 87. David Wilkerson, who went to be with the Lord at the age of 80, just a couple years back, less than that. And then my colleague Keith Collins, lead pastor of our congregation and director of our School of Ministry. And then some words from me as well. It's called Radical. Sit back and listen. May your heart be stirred.
We need a generation to wake up.
People say today we've lived so long through so many wars. Is there no answer? Sure, there's an answer. The answer is in the Prince of Peace. The answer is in the greatest remedy that was ever given to man, in the Sermon on the Mount, the most majestic thing ever uttered by the most majestic man who ever lived.
How many times has God called you, sir? And ma'am, how many times has the Holy Spirit says, I want to lay my hand on you? I want you to be such a man of prayer that your life has changed, your family knows it, God knows it, everybody around you knows it, and every time you stand in the pulpit, there's a word that touches the heart.
We need more than church attendees. We need more than people that learn the latest, newest, hip worship songs. And thank God for all that. I'm not against that. But let me tell you something. You can know all those things and still not really be intimate with Jesus Christ.
Come on, friends. We've seen awesome things from God, but we haven't seen what we're supposed to see yet. If this book is true, if our God is true, we haven't yet touched what we're supposed to see. We've got a glimpse, but that's it. Let's not insult God by saying this is that yet.
Have you ever wondered how it is that the world can accept you so easily when it couldn't accept him?
When Jesus is rightly seen in our midst, we're captivated by him. The things of this world can no longer hold our passions.
Please understand and know that God loves you. He loves me. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we may be enduring, God calls you to the mountain. They may deal with you in love and in his holiness, not to judge you, but to give you power and authority in his name and let your face shine with his glory.
When Fanny Crosby was receiving some sympathy from somebody who said to her, well, you've been blind all your 84 years and it's a great pity, and I don't know why the Lord let this happen. You've missed so much. Such a disadvantage to be blind. And dear little Fanny said, it's a great advantage to be blind. A friend said, what's the advantage? She said, my dear, don't you realize the first face I ever see will be his face.
And he's called you out of the world and out of your business and out of your own agenda. And he's spoken to your heart many times, says, come to the mountain, come away with me, come up.
And yet I believe we're coming to a point of climax where God's going to come down and visit and inhabit and move and live and stretch out his hand and shake everything.
The reality of Jesus is needed now. Why am I here? I'm not here because I need a place to preach, because I don't. I'm here because I believe the Lord sent me here on assignment to wake some of you up with the power of his love and the reality of his cross and the power of the blood of Jesus that is still as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus laid his life down.
Realizing again we've got something that this world needs supremely. We need the risen Christ of God who's exalted. He has all power, he has all authority. He has all dominion. Everything's under his feet. He's going to come in splendor. He's going to come in glory.
He doesn't give up on his servants. He loves them. He loves them to the end.
When we learn to pray the way Jesus prayed in times of desperation and crisis, we'll see the resurrection power of God.
Well, are we ready? Are we ready to take the plunge? Are we ready to be serious? Are we ready to cry out? Or will it take persecution to make us ready? 866-348-7884. 348-7884. Let's go to Ogden, Utah. Gamaliel, or do you use the Hebrew pronunciation Gamaliel?
It's the Hebrew pronunciation.
All right. What's on your mind? Yes, go ahead.
All right. First off, I'd like to say that as we're searching for the resurgence of church being the church, anyways, anyone who is a true Christian in Christ, then we need to expect either the worst, mediocrity from others, or the best from others. Now, all three can happen, as the mouth of lions gave us the Bible and the Word of God. So, I also have another topic, politically speaking. Is that okay?
Well, actually, we wanted to stay just on this. So, thank you for the comments. I do appreciate it. 866-348-7884. Ernest in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you. Can you hear
me? Go ahead. Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say, first of all, thank you for being so bold and talking about the things that I see other men of God, pastors, that are afraid to talk about. I think there is a lot of compromise. You know, I always ask a question, and I always ask, are you living in sin? And the only answer that I get back is nobody's perfect. So I think if you cannot even answer a simple question, are you living wrong or are you living right, then I think there is a lot of compromise. And the harder things get, the more I say, because I'm part of the church.
Yeah.
But I think that the real men and women of God, if they are backslidden, this will either cause them to come out or cause them to get worse. Because I belong to recovery groups since 2006. Even in recovery, it's very, very hard to say this is wrong and this is right. It's like everybody's
really
afraid. Nobody can tell anybody, hey, you're living in sin.
Yeah, you know, and Ernest, look, the fact is we haven't reached perfection yet, but before we were saved, we were living in sin. That was our lifestyle. That was who we were.
Yes.
We were sinners by nature and by desire. That's how we lived. That's what we practiced. As born-again people, we don't practice sin. Sin is the exception to the rule in our lives. And if someone says, well, if you compare yourself to God's perfect holiness, then 24/7 you fall short. Correct. I understand that. But what God says is, because he's holy, now to me as a human being, be holy. So walk this out and live this out as a fellow child of God. And bottom line is, we should be living differently. Look, I used to shoot heroin. I don't anymore. I used to have this horrific, miserable, fierce temper, totally destructive. I don't anymore. You know, there are lots of things that used to be in my life that aren't. Am I perfect? No. Am I striving to please the Lord in every way? Yes, that's how we should live. And the fact we can't just say this is right, this is wrong.
Yes.
You know, black and white distinctives, it's, again, symptomatic of the age in which we live. The question is, if persecution and opposition comes, will it bring greater compromise? Will it separate the wheat from the chaff and the wheat from the tares? Will it bring awakening? What do you think? Let's stay in Dallas. Bill in Dallas, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, how you doing? Great
Very
topic.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
I think that there is will be a time for persecution, but the issue that I struggle with is the church itself and the disarray that it's in. The church, you've got multiple denominations. You have the true persecution in the book of Acts was when the church was united by one spirit. And for historical reasons and all sorts of different reasons, we have all these different things and different denominations, but in reality, we've got one word. And when people start learning the word, declaring the word, and being bold about that, and when we let go of the trappings of the organizations that we have, you know, when churches stop borrowing money like the world does, and, you know, paying multiple interests like, you know, on your home, and when those things are set aside and we take ourselves out of the culture, that's when I think persecution will come, just like in the first century, because there was so much power. All they could do was, oh, we got to stop this. because it's so overwhelming.
Yeah, the fact is, Bill, when we live the way followers of Jesus are supposed to live, there's always going to be persecution. There has to be, because darkness hates light, and because the religious establishment or the world establishment is going to get challenged. The moment we become self-righteous and puffed up and look at us, then you know we're just like the world, and we can't complain. When the world comes against us because of our hypocrisy or our sin, we can't complain. But the fact is, if we follow Jesus, are devoted to him, of course there's going to be opposition, persecution. There always has been. Back with your calls and some further words to stir and encourage your hearts. Great quote from David Wilkerson I want to share with you.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I'm not welcoming persecution in terms of, oh yeah, sure, let's just suffer the way the church around the rest of the world suffers. I have friends in the midst of persecuted church. I've ministered in the midst of it. We've had our own lives threatened at different times, at different parts of the world. And as an American, I get back on a plane and fly home. Things are much, much, much more grave for so many others. We need to be sober about this. But the fact is, Jesus said, if the world hates you, remember, it hated me first. Paul said, all those who live godly lives in Messiah Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said in the Beatitudes, blessed, truly happy are those who are persecuted for righteousness, and told us that we would be, as the prophets were before us. Are we willing to stand up? Are we willing to do what's right? Are we willing to really be the people of God? I believe there is a remnant in America that will rise, and I believe that remnant will turn into a mighty force as awakening comes. But will it come without persecution, before, after, or during? I personally don't see how. 866-348-7884. Barbara in Honolulu, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Shalom, Dr. Brown.
Shalom. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. I want to thank you so much for feeding my spirit daily with the Word of God. I am ready, willing, and able to rock the boat for Christ. I'm a radical for Jesus, yet I am frustrated with the church. Truly frustrated with the church. You know, many have been deceived because they truly do believe that they're Christians. For example, I was having a chat with a Christian the other day, and I was told that God has a place in heaven for practicing homosexuals. Yet, they couldn't show it to me in the Bible.
Right.
Now, I know that wasn't a true statement, and I know this person believes that they're a Christian, but to say that, it's so frustrating. But you know what's happened to me recently? My frustration has been decreasing because I'm revising the question. I no longer ask the question, do you believe in God? Because Satan believes in God. And I no longer ask the question, are you a Christian? My question now is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Because I know the way is narrow, Dr. Brown. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you, if it were not for your show, I don't know what I would do day in and day out. God continue to bless you in ways that you cannot even conceive in your mind. May he continue to bless you and your family. How's your mother?
My mother, well, first, thank you so much for those comments and those kind words. That means the world to me, and that's why we're on the air, joyfully and with passion. But thank you for sharing that. My mother, 90 years old, the light is really going on. You know, she would pray a prayer with me just because I asked her to. She would believe in what I tell her is real because she trusts me. But she has to know in her own heart. And she's been reading some books by Jewish believers. And she had a twinkle in her eye a few days back, a little over a week ago. And she's she said, they're all seeing the same thing. They all have the same experience. And I said, Mom, it's real. And it seemed to be the first time that she was really connecting. And I said, Mom, do you believe this? She said, well, I do. I said, you just need to tell God alone in your room that you believe these things. So I believe God is really at work in her heart, and that very soon we'll see clear evidence of her knowing the Lord for herself. But Barbara, thank you for asking. Thank you for praying, and thank you for those kind words. May the Lord bring awakening that will shake the nation and the nations. Again, thank you. God bless you.
We'll rock the boat together, Dr. Brown. We'll rock the boat.
I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. All right. All right. 866-34-TRUTH. Francisco in one more call. Kevin in. We lost Kevin. We lost Kevin. 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. Number one, I'll spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the word. Number two, I'll walk in purity of heart and integrity of life and thought and speech and indeed. Number three, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. Number four, I will commit myself to the Great Commission, looking for opportunities to win the lost, restore the backslidden, and make disciples. Number five, I will seek to be a peacemaker and ambassador of reconciliation, forgiving those who have offended me and seeking the forgiveness of those whom I've offended. Number six, I will walk in love towards those who despise and reject me, overcoming evil with good and hostility with kindness. Number seven, I will pursue fellowship with brothers and sisters of like mind and will not separate myself from the body. Number eight, I will be involved with the ministry of mercy through serving or through giving, helping to relieve human suffering in a tangible way. Number nine, I will stand for righteousness and justice in my city, speaking the truth in love regardless of cost or consequence. Number 10, I will seek the fullness of the Spirit, availing myself of everything God has made available for his people today. I want to send that to you on a 5x7 card, just practical. Put it in your Bible. Put it in the Revolution book. I want to send it to you with my book, Revolution, one of the most stirring books you'll ever read. I believe it will enable you, embolden you, equip you to stand for God and make a difference. We've seen the book make a tremendous impact on many people who are key leaders today, rising up in the body in America and around the world by God's grace. So your gift of any size to stand with us, any way that you can help us and support us as your listener-sponsored voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, please do so, and we really appreciate your generous support. The number to call for the book, the Revolution book, and the 5x7 card to put in the book or to put in your Bible, 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary. Number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that number, 1-800-278-9978. We'd love to send this out to you. If you can become a monthly torchbearer, that's awesome. All the better. Our torchbearers receive a new message from us every month, receive a 15% discount in our online bookstore, receive free access to our online classes, and receive a special prayer and testimony update every month, those supporting us with at least $25 or more per month. So if you can do that, wonderful. Same number to call, 1-800-278-9978. And please join us on our website, AskDrBrown.org. I now have a blog that will be just about daily articles that we're updating, daily audio resources, highlights from our broadcast, preached messages, new videos we're adding, and it's as user-friendly as you can imagine. So join me on the website, AskDrBrown.org. You can also stand with us through the website. My bottom line today, it is not so much a matter of us waiting for God for some mystical moment when he will just one day move. It is a matter of God waiting for us. And I believe he says to you and to me, what are you waiting for?